All right, in our remaining minutes, we want to take our Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Last week we began what will be a series on when to be silent and when to speak. And I hope this will be a help to us all. The Bible has a great deal to say about when to speak and when to be silent. We looked at last week in Psalm 30, dealing with the subject of the timing aspect of Lord, I will not be silent when I should be praising your name. We ought always to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praise the Father, praise the Holy Spirit, and be thankful for what they do in our lives, because without the Son of God, without the Father's love, without the work of the Holy Spirit, there is no hope for any of us. And so we thank the Lord for that. Tonight we're in Proverbs chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at a couple of places here in Proverbs. If we have time, we'll go to Ecclesiastes for a couple of other places dealing with this subject of what does the Bible say, first of all, about being silent and speaking. And then we're going to look at a series of when and when not that the Bible speaks to. When we need to be silent, when we need to speak up. There's several of these categories that we're going to be getting into, and I hope it will be instructive to us all. Look at verse 19, please, of Proverbs 10. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not, what's that next word? Sin. All right? But he that refraineth his lips is wise or prudent. One individual translated verse 19 from the Hebrew, transgression is at work where people talk too much. Yeah. Transgression is at work where people talk too much. You know, if you've got motor mouth disease, and sometimes that happens, I've used that phrase a few times, but I've had to speak to a few young people that just could not stop talking. They just talked, and I pull them aside. And I said, it's obvious to me you're suffering from motor mouth disease, and you need treatment. And so I'm going to call your parents and let them know. Oh, don't do that, Pastor Brainerd, don't do that. I said, well, you need to be treated. This is something that's just not normal. You're out of control. You know, chainsaw mouth. Just running all the time, making a lot of racket. We need to learn and understand that when there's a multitude of words, what's lurking in the background? Transgression. Sin. By the way, transgression simply means to go too far. To go too far. You have a boundary, and you go too far. That's transgression. The Bible calls that sin. We call it trespassing. Whenever there's a boundary that's clearly marked, and you go across that boundary, and you don't abide by the sign that's posted there, you could be in a world of hurt. I remember reading not too long ago up in South Alabama where a man was shot who had gone over a clearly marked signs, every few feet, signs, no trespassing, no trespass. He climbed over, did his thing, he went over there, he was illegally hunting. And he didn't realize that there was an elderly fella with a gun that was waiting. And he hollered out, get out of here! And the guy popped up, was looking around, he didn't know what to do, and he went right back down again. And so he had a little shotgun with number 6 pellets in it. If you don't know what that is, that's birdshot. And he went ba-boom into the grass and so forth like that, got him. And there was a lot of yelping that was going on. And he took off like a rocket. And he made it over that fence in no time at all. Then he called the police that he had been shot illegally. And they found out the whole story. Said, you were trespassing. You weren't supposed to be there. Matter of fact, your car, your truck was parked right beside the sign, all right? And so he didn't have a leg to stand on. Well, hopefully he did have a leg to stand on after that, but when it came to legal ground, he didn't have a leg to stand on. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. We need to learn something right now. You've heard the expression, silence is golden. Have you ever heard any expression that says the multitude of words is golden? Nowhere. You know, it gets wearisome after a while. Whenever, have you ever had that? I just wish they would just shut up. Have you ever gotten pushed to that level where you just said, I wish they'd just be quiet? They're just talking and talking and talking. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But the Bible verse doesn't stop there. What does it say? It goes on to say, and he that refraineth his lips is wise. Prudent is the Hebrew word. In other words, I want to say something, but I'm not going to say anything. I want to interject something, but I'm going to pull back on that. Now, what does that imply? It implies prudence in timing. Sometimes, whenever you're in a situation, for instance, when someone is grieving, the less said, the better. Going into the long history of all the people that have died in your life at that particular time and how you were with them and so forth like that, that's not the time to be yapping it up about what you did with the 16 people that you know that died. That's not bringing comfort to them. They're wishing, would you just please stop? Prudence says, just be there, remain quiet, and pray. Just pray silently. If they speak to you, I've been in those situations before. I was thinking about this as I was preparing for the message tonight of getting a call at 12:30 at night from a young lady who and her dad and her had been coming to church for a short while. And he told me, he said, the reason I started coming back to your church is I'm dying of cancer. And this is where I first learned about Jesus, was in this ministry. And so I've come back to church there. And she called me at 12:30 at night and said, would you come? Daddy's dead. So I got in my truck and I went out there to where they lived. And I got out and I went inside and he had passed. And I called the funeral home and asked them to come. And they asked a bunch of questions. And so where she wasn't where she could even talk to them. So I had to answer most of the questions and so forth. And while we were waiting, I just started praying quietly. I didn't say anything to her. She was weeping. She was upset. And I just started praying. And in a few minutes, she said, Pastor Brainerd, can I ask you a question? And we began to talk about the Lord. We talked about what happens when a person passes away. And the Lord just gave opportunity. But I just kept quiet during that time. I let her grieve. And when she was ready to speak, as we were waiting for the funeral home to get there, I learned that over time, that there are times where prudence says, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Multitude of words creates the, this is literally what the Hebrew is saying, it creates the possibility of sin. It doesn't create the possibility of goodness. It creates the possibility of sin. And is that where you want to lead someone? Especially in a time like that? Let's flip over a few pages to chapter 17. This passage comes to mind. Verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. There's our word, prudent. Even a fool, when he's silent, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Okay? Now, you may be a fool, but if you keep your mouth closed, people will think you're smart. You're wise. When you open your mouth, you prove otherwise. You see? The Bible here makes it very clear that the less spoken, the better. We get into trouble when we start talking and doing a lot of it. The multitude of our words leads us. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. It doesn't mean he is, but people think, oh, there's a wise person. There's somebody that's prudent. They held their tongue at that particular moment. And he that shutteth his lips, now get the action that's involved there. Who's doing the shutting of the lips? The individual. Not somebody else coming over and doing it, but myself, controlling the mouth. Shutting the lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So even though it may not be true, people perceive that this is a person of understanding. Why? What's the basis for assuming something like that? That somebody has understanding, that someone is prudent. It's by this being what? Still silent. You know, the Bible is so practical. Do I hear an amen? It is so practical to help us in our daily lives. You know, I get weary of talk radio. I have to be honest with you. I stopped listening to it. I used to have my radio on and I would catch it whenever I could, but I stopped doing that about a year and a half ago. I just shut it off because it just got to the point it was just the same thing over and over and over again. And what I found myself doing was I was getting discouraged. I was getting depressed. And my attitude was going south because what I was listening to was not edifying. Now, what they may have been saying may have been true, but when you repeat something over and over and over and over again, you got to be careful because then you start to mimic and then your attitude goes south and you sound just like them. You know, you can tell who people listen to by how they talk. My mom used to do that to me all the time. I'd get home and say, I know who you were hanging around at school today. Now, my mom worked in the school, so there was no pulling any kind of wool over her eyes. She knew all the kids, and she knew who I was hanging out with. And she said, I know who you were hanging with. That's how you were talking. Now, what has the multitude of words done? It's affected other people. No man is an island. When you talk, and how you talk, and how much you talk, if you're not careful, you begin to affect other people and their attitudes. So the Bible says it's wiser, even though you may be a fool, it's wiser of you if you limit your speech. So these are generic principles out there about when to speak and when to be silent. And so this is so important. I found this quote, wise men are not always silent, but they know when to be. That's a good one. I think I'm going to frame it and put it right over my computer screen. Or maybe if I really figure out how to do it, I'll do it digitally. So it's my back screen that says this. Wise men are not always silent, but they know when to be. Now that doesn't mean that we don't speak up, and we're going to be dealing with that. There are times when we need to speak up. We need to stand up for what's right. But there are times when we need to be still and silent and quiet. Because then we end up telling people we're not very wise. As a matter of fact, we're foolish because of the multitude of our words. We're going to get into this further as we look to the book of Ecclesiastes, because in chapter 3 and in chapter 9, and I'm just going to kind of whet your appetite. Maybe you'll go home tonight and read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You probably know in chapter 3 what I'm going to say. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. Right? Again, notice please, timing. Timing. You know, that's such an important aspect of Christian living. Sometimes it's better to let things develop before you jump in with both feet and stamp it out, because you may have a wrong understanding of what's happening. And you will create more damage by doing that than if you just waited and just remain silent. Timing, remain silent, let it develop, and then see a better picture of what's happening. So many times I've had to apologize to people, apologize to young people or something. I jumped to a conclusion. I thought something was developing this way, and it wasn't. It was an assumption on my part. I should have been what? Silent. And I wasn't. And so I acted in a wrong way, and it created more problems by doing that than if I'd have just waited. Just wait. Let it develop. Let's see what's going to happen here. Now, sometimes you have to speak up. Sometimes there's something that's happening of a serious nature, and you have to step in. You have to say, whoa, wait, hold it. And you stop something that dangerous that might be about to happen. We had a situation years ago, and I'll close with this. On field three, we had a snake in the dugout. Okay? Wasn't just your old average snake, it was a cottonmouth. Now, if you know anything about cottonmouths, they're a dangerous snake, all right? And they can be very aggressive. And so I ran to go get a shovel, all right? One of us was going to win. And so I posted a coach. I said, keep them at the gate. Don't let them go in the field. Keep them away from that until we take care of business and so forth like that. I come back carrying my shovel, and I see four or five kids just going into the thing there, and my coach had walked off. And I just immediately, hey, get off that field! Now some people say, oh, how dare you yell? How dare you do that? You're not being sweet. Now let me ask you something. Do you want your child bit by a cottonmouth? I knew it was in there. So I said, hey, get off the field. They all go running off. I said, there's a snake in the dugout. I went in there and there was a lot of clanging and banging going on, let me tell you. I went in there and I was just chopping and I took out four or five pieces. Got him out of there. I don't take chances with those things. I don't play around with it, you know. It's going to be me get bit or that snake's going to get bit several times on the end of a shovel. So I scraped up what was left and I took him outside and I said, see there, this is what was in there waiting for you. Okay? Ooh! It was pretty gross. But I won that battle. I went over there and I dug a hole and I buried the snake and we went on. I had to go in there and throw some sand in there on what was left of some of the blood and whatever from the activity that I got into. But I went in there, I was going to go in there. Now, I would never send Dr. Watt to do that. Okay? Because Dr. Watt does not like snakes. Okay? But, sometimes you have to speak up if there's danger. And danger can take many different forms. So don't be afraid to speak up. But at the same time, put a little check right here. That when you're ready to just blurt out something because you're assuming something, and you don't have all the information, just put a little lock on it. Wait. Wait. Let something transpire first, because it may not be the right timing. You need to let something develop. And let's see where this is going first before we jump in there with both feet like a bull in a china shop, knocking down all the china things. And, well, I got it! Yeah, but you broke $10,000 worth of, you know, merchandise in the process. Did you have to do that? Because you didn't watch this. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the Word of God. Oh, it's so powerful and it's so practical. Lord, so many times we just run off at the mouth. We say things we ought not to say. We let our emotions get the best of us instead of just being silent. Help us, Father, not to be as the fool, but help us, Father, to be wise. Help us to be prudent when it comes to our tongue. Help us not to say things we ought not to say. And help us to be a witness and testimony for Thee. Now watch over us during the remainder of this week. Lord, we look to Thee for protection. We look to Thee for a good health. We look to Thee for everything because You alone are God. And we, Father, own the fact that we depend upon You for everything. We ask Your blessing upon each one. And we pray, Father, that You would work in a very special way in our hearts and lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.